はい。じゃあ、今日は、イザヤとマタイをちょっと比べるあのメッセージをしたいと思います。マタイの方は9章と12章。そして、イザヤは42章。まあ、その、関連しているところを比べながら学びたいと思います。So today, I'd like to look at some connected passages, and these are in Matthew and Isaiah, Matthew chapter 9 and 12, also 10, but mostly 9 and 12, and in Isaiah chapter 42. So, first of all, let's read in Matthew chapter 9. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, and we'll begin at verse 27 to 31. Okay. そして最初はマタイ9章27から31節を読みます。はい。そして今日は、どうしましょう。英語で始めて、そして日本語に訳します。So I'll do it today in English and then translate into Japanese. Okay. I'd like to look at a few connected passages here. So let's look beginning with Matthew chapter 9, and let's begin at verse 27. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." And when he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him. And he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. And while they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and couldn't talk was brought to Jesus, and when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been done in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his field." And just continue on a little bit. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Okay. Then, in the next section in chapter 10, he sends out the 12, and they go out and do that ministry. And then in verse 24 to 27, "The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It's enough for the students to be like their teachers and the servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight, and what is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs." Okay, so just looking at this, we have blindness. We have blind people, people who can't see. And then we have a mute who can't speak, a demon-possessed mute who can't speak, and they're healed. They go from being not able to see and not able to speak to being able to see and speak. And then we have the case that the blind men, Jesus said to them, well, in this version, it says, "See that no one knows about this." So these blind men who couldn't see, Jesus then tells them to see. That word in Greek really means to see. It means to stare or to be very careful about it. to see that no one knows about it. Be very, very careful that no one knows about this. But instead of obeying him, they think, no, we're just going to tell everyone. So they went out and spread the news about him everywhere. So they had their sight, but they didn't have a full understanding of Jesus' mission. They had a partial understanding, but not a full one. And then we have the opposition. Jesus is called, Jesus is said to be casting out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons. So there's opposition. And the crowds are amazed, and Jesus goes away there. But then he calls his disciples, and he gives them the power to become true witnesses. So we have people who go out without being called, people who go out without really understanding the purpose of Jesus' miracles and the purpose of Jesus' mission, that is the blind men who were healed. I mean, they were healed, they were saved in a sense, but they didn't really have that calling. Then we have those who truly were called, and they go out and they do the same miracles as Jesus. And Jesus says to them, that which is whispered in the ear, proclaimed from the rooftops. And he says, pray for the harvest. We need more people like this. Okay, that's the first section. Now, let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And we'll just have a look at a few things here. First of all, it also begins in the grain fields. Chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pick some of the heads of grain and eat them. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. And he answered, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on the Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you wouldn't have condemned the innocent. And then you've got almost very similar situation in verses 9 down to 14, where there's a man who has a shriveled hand, and he is healed on the Sabbath. And again, Jesus appeals to them, wouldn't you heal on the Sabbath? And he stretched out his hand, but again, the Pharisees oppose him. And aware of that, Jesus withdrew from the place, verse 15. And in verse 16, he warned them not to tell others about him. And this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant, verse 18, whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel, nor cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope. And then, in verse 22, then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. And Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. And all the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it's only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons. And then he goes on and explains to them his mission. Okay, so we have kind of almost a very similar repetition here. We have a blind man healed and a blind man healed. We have a mute man healed and a mute man healed. We have a demon-possessed man delivered. We have a demon-possessed man delivered. Then we have, in the first time, we have blindness. In the second time, we have the blindness of the Jews who, although they knew the scripture, they couldn't see. Haven't you read? They'd read it many times. They'd heard it many times, but they couldn't see. We have a spiritual blindness. In this time, we have Beelzebul, Beelzebub in Matthew 9, and in Matthew 12 again, he is accused of being Beelzebub. And then in Matthew 9, he tells this man, don't go out and tell anyone. And in Matthew 12, he tells them, be sure not to tell anyone about this. So obviously these two passages are very, very connected. I mean, it's Jesus' ministry. Obviously, he's doing the ministry God called him to do. But Matthew has given us two almost identical situations here. And they're linked here by Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42, here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel, no one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through the victory, and in his name the nations will put their hope. Let's just have a look very quickly at Isaiah chapter 42, where this is quoted from. And in Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 4 is that scripture. But then, look at what he does in here, in verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant to the people and a light to the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and now new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. And just going a little way on, in verse 14, he says, for a long time I've kept silent. I've been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out. In verse 16, sorry, that was verse 14. In verse 16, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. But those who trust in idols, who say to images, you are our gods, will be turned back into utter shame. Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one in covenant with me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You've seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen, etc. Okay, so I'm going to go back and give that in Japanese, and then after it, we'll put it together and see what it means for us. Okay. じゃあ、今日は、マタイ9章、マタイ12章と、イザヤ42章を、比べて、そして、学びたいと思います。最初は、それがどのようにつながっていることを、話します。で、それから、まあ、私たちはそれから何がわかるか、どういうことが教えられているということを、調べましょう。最初は、マタイ、9章を見ましょう。最初は27節、27から10章の1節を読みたいと思います。じゃあゆっとお願いできますか。
はい、
大丈夫。もう一回、それはマタイ9章27から10の1、
はい、
お願いします。
イエスがそこを出て道を通って行かれると、二人の盲人が大声でダビデの声を、私たちを憐れんでくださいと叫びながらついてきた。家に入られると、その盲人たちは身元にやってきた。イエスが私にそんなことができると信じるのかと言われると、彼らはそうです主よと言った。そこでイエスは彼らの目に触って、あなた方の信仰の通りになれと言われた。すると彼らの目が開いた。イエスは彼らを厳しく戒めて、決して誰にも知られないように気をつけなさいと言われた。ところが彼らは出て行って、イエスのことをその地方全体に言いふらした。 この人たちが出ていくと、身は悪霊に疲れて口の聞けない人が身元に連れてこられた。悪霊が追い出されると、その人は物を言った。群衆は驚いて、こんなことはイスラエルで今からかつて見たことがないと言った。しかしパリサイ人たちは、彼は悪霊どもの頭を使って悪霊どもを追い出しているのだと言った。それからイエスはすべての町や村を巡って、街道で教え、御国の福音を述べ伝え、あらゆる病気、あらゆる患いを癒された。また群衆を見て羊飼いのいない羊のように終わり果てて倒れている彼らをかわいそうに思われた。その時弟子たちは言われた。収穫は多いが、働き手が少ない。だから収穫の主に収穫のために働き手を送ってくださるように祈りなさい。イエスは十二弟子を呼び寄せて、汚れた霊どもを制する権威をお授けになった。霊どもを追い出し、あらゆる病気、あらゆる患いを癒すためであった。
はい、ありがとうございます。そして、もうちょっと、読んでもらいたいんですけど、それは、10章の26から27まで。
はい。だから彼らを恐れてはいけません。覆われているもので表されないものはなく、隠されているもので知られずに済むものはありません。私が暗闇であなた方に話すことを明るみで言いなさい。またあなた方の耳元で聞くことを屋上で広めなさい。
はい。そして今度は12章のちょっと読みたいと思います。最初は、一節から八節まで。十二章の一節から八節、
はい。その頃イエスは安息日に麦畑を通られた。弟子たちはひもじくなったので、穂を摘んで食べ始めた。するとパリサイ人たちがそれを見つけてイエスに言った。ご覧なさい、あなたの弟子たちが安息日にしてはならないことをしています。しかしイエスは言われた。ダビデとその連れの者たちがひもじかったとき、ダビデが何をしたか読まなかったのですか。神の家に入って祭司のほかは、自分も友の者たちも食べてはならない備えのパンを食べました。まだ安息日に宮にいる祭司たちは安息日の神聖を犯しても罪にならないということを律法で読んだことはないのですか。あなた方に言いますが、ここに宮よりも大きなものがいるのです。私は憐れみを好むが、生贄は好まない。ということがどういう意味かを知っていたら、あなた方は罪のない者たちを罪に定めなくはしなかったでしょう。人の子は安息日の主です。
はい。そして、11節。
はい。イエスは彼らに言われた。あなた方のうち、誰かが一匹の羊を持っていて、もし、その羊が安息日に穴に落ちたらそれを引き上げてやらないでしょうか。
はい、14節。
14節。
はい。
パリサイ人は出て行ってどのようにしてイエスを滅ぼそうかと相談した。
はい、そして15から、15から、24までお願いします。
はい。イエスはそれを知ってそこを立ち去られた。すると多くの人がついてきたので彼らをみんな癒し、そしてご自分のことを人々に知らせないようにと彼らを戒められた。これは預言者イザヤを通して言われたことが成就するためであった。これぞ私の選んだ私のしもべ、私の心の喜ぶ私の愛する者。私は彼の上に私の霊を置き、彼は異邦人に抗議を述べる。争うこともなく、叫ぶこともせず、お家でその声を聞くものもない。彼は傷んだ足を折ることもなく、くすぶる闘神を消すこともない。抗議を勝利に導くまでは、異邦人は彼の名に望みをかける。その時、悪霊に疲れて目も見えず、口も聞けない者、人が連れてこられた。イエスが彼らを癒されたので、その人は物を言い、目も見えるようになった。群衆が皆驚いていった。この人はダビデの子なのだろうか。これを聞いたパリサイ人は言った。この人は、立った悪霊どもの頭、ベルゼブルの力 れども置いているだけだ。
はい、ありがとうございます。OK、そして、まず、マタイ9章とマタイ12章に、この、まあ、ほぼ同じパターンがあります。ちょっともう一回比べてみると、マタイ9章は、目が見えないことから始まる。で、マタイ12章は、最初は、まあ、霊的に目が見えないことがあります。その二人は、目が見えなかったけど、しかし十二章のパリサイ人たちは、聖書を見てもわからない、読んでもわからない、学んでも悟れない。で、イエス様の、まあ、質問はこういう感じで、なんでわからないの？なんで見えないの？なんで、明らかなことは見えないですか？ダビデは、安息日に、パンを食べた、その、天幕のパンを食べて、それが正しいということは、なんでわからないのか安息日になんで当たり前の、まあ、羊を穴から取り救出することは、当たり前とわからないのか。彼らは霊的に目が見えない。まあ、私たちもなんで自分の、罪が認めないのかと言いたいぐらいと同じような感じです。そして、最初は目が見えない人が癒された。そして、まあ、口も聞けない人、物語れない人も癒された。それは悪霊的。で、12章は、悪霊を、に疲れて、目が見えないし、口も聞けない人も、出てきて、そして彼は癒された。マタイ9章には、パリサイ人は、これは、サタンの力によって、ベルズバブの悪霊の力によって悪霊を追い出していると言われている。そして、また12章、また同じ。これは、悪霊の君、ベルズバブの力によって、なされていると、歌えます。また9章に、イエス様は、その二人に絶対にこんなことに誰にも言わないでください。言わないように気をつけなさいと言います。まあ、その気をつけなさいという言葉は、面白い。それは見るという言葉。まあ、見つめるという言葉。実際にギリシャ語では。それは、まあ、見るというのは、ちゃんとやりなさいという意味。目が見えない人が次に、見ると言われるのは面白いですけど、しかし彼らは自分が癒される信仰がありましたけど、しかし、イエス様の目的を理解するほどの信仰はなかった。なぜかというと、イエス様の明らかな命令を破って、全く反対のこと、逆のことを言いました。イエス様のことを幅広く広めました。それは、彼らがイエス様を理解できなかったから。そして、マタイ9章には、宿泊、宿泊じゃなくて、ちょっと待ってください。言葉忘れた。37節、収穫か。ごめんなさい。収穫が多いが、働き手が少ない。だから、収穫の週に、収穫のために働き手を送ってくださるように祈りなさい。そして次に、その通りに、イエス様は、そういうものを送ります。十二弟子を、送ります。そして、収穫で働くように。はい。じゃあ、こういうことによって私たちは何がどうやって理解、なんでこういうパターンがほぼ同じ、同じパターンが繰り返されているでしょう。そのつながっているところは、イザヤ42章ので、イザヤ42章は、マタイ12章で引用されました。 18節から、これぞ私の選んだ私のしもべ、私の心の喜ぶ私の愛する者、私のは彼の上に私の霊を置き、彼は異邦人に抗議を述べる、争うこともなく叫ぶこともせず、王子でその声を聞くものもない、彼は一旦で足を折ることもなく、くすぶる刀身を消すこともない、抗議を勝利に導くまでは異邦人は彼の名に望みをかける。その箇所はイザヤ42章に書かれてますので、イザヤ42章をちょっと一緒に読みます。引用されるときに元々の箇所を読めば、多くの場合はなんでそういうことがあったかを理解、さらに理解できますので、まずはイザヤ42章を見てください。そしてまず1から1から4、まあ1から9節まで読みましょう。もう1回お願いします。イザヤ42の1から9。
見よ、私の支える私のしもべ、の心の喜ぶ私が選んだもの、私は彼の上に私の霊を授け、国々に抗議をもたらす。彼は叫ばず声を上げず、巷にその声を聞かせない。彼は傷んだ足を折ることはなくこともなく、くすぐる刀身を消すこともなく、誠をもって抗議をもたらす。彼は衰えずくじけない。ついには地に抗議を打ち立てる。島々もその教えを待ち望む。天を作り出し、これを引き延べ。地とその産物を押し広め、清め、その上の民に息を与え、この上を歩む者に霊を授けた神なる主は、こうせられる。私は主、私主は義をも、あなたを召し、手を握り、あなたを見守り、あなたの民の契約とし、国々の光とする。こうして見えない目を開き、囚人を、牢獄から闇の中に住む者、住む者を獄屋から連れ出す。私は主、これが私の名、私の栄光を他の者に、私の栄誉を刻んだ像に与えはしない。先のことは見よ。既に起こった新しいことを私は告げよう。それが起こる前にあなた方に言い聞かせよう。
そして14節から16節、17節までお願いします。
はい。私は久しく黙っていた。静かに自分を抑えていた。今は幸運のようにうめき、激しい息遣いであえ、私は山や丘を荒らし、その全ての青草を枯らし、川を乾いた地とし、沢を枯らす。私は目を見えない者に彼らの知らない道を歩ませ、彼らの知らない通り道を行かせる。彼らの前で闇を光に、でこぼこ道を、でこぼこの道を平らにする。これらのことを私がして彼らを見捨てない。彫像により頼み、鋳造にあなたが、そう、私たちの神々というものは退けられて恥を見る。耳の聞こえない者たちを聞け。目の見えない者たちを目を凝らしてみよう。私のしもべほど盲目の者が誰か他にいようか。私の苦しさのような耳の聞こえない者が他にいようか。私に買い取られた者のような盲目の者、主のしもべのような盲目の者が誰か他にいようか。
OK, ありがとうございます。そして、まあ、この3つ、マタイ9章、10章、そしてマタイ12章、そして今、イザヤ42章を読んで、それが全部、つながっています。同じことを伝えています。そして、まあ、また英語で話しますけど、次は、まあ、このことはいろいろな共通点があるということがわかりますので、箇所自体がつながっていますけど、じゃあ私たちはどのように理解して、悟ればいい、解釈すればいいかを次に話します。Okay, so, basically then, what we've looked at is these three passages. We looked at Matthew 9, Matthew 12, and here in Isaiah 42. So we can see that they're linked. We can see a mute, demon-possessed, blind, healed. Mute, demon-possessed, blind, healed. Called Beelzebub, called Beelzebub. We see blindness, and then we see spiritual blindness. And then we see, don't go and tell anyone, don't go and tell anyone. The same kind of things are repeated. And then we see in chapter 12, it says why. Why were they not allowed to go and tell anyone? Why did Jesus say, don't go out and tell anyone about this? Why did Jesus not want anyone to know who he was? And that was given to fulfill Isaiah chapter 42. So Isaiah 42 is talking about the servant. This is the one who opens the eyes of the blind. This is the one who makes those who can't talk, talk. This is the one who doesn't give up. He's like a reed that, although it's bent, it doesn't break. This is the one who's like a candle that just won't go out. This is the one, if you go on and read the rest of Isaiah 42, who for a long time keeps silent. This is Jesus. This is the one who eventually brings justice to the nations. Eventually, he leads the blind along ways that they haven't known. This is the one who turns nations toward God. This is the one who's like a champion. He's a powerful witness. This is Jesus, who went everywhere healing everyone. He healed the sick, he healed blind people, he healed lame people. This is the powerful witness. And it's all Isaiah 42. So why were they not allowed to tell anyone about it? Because the first characteristic of this powerful witness who Jesus is, and who Jesus wants us to be, because immediately after this he then sent the 12 out and gave them exactly the same ministry. The first characteristic of this powerful witness is that he was unseen and he was unheard. He was born blind. Jesus was born blind, like every baby is born blind. He had to trust in the care and grace of other believers, Mary. It says, you know, that God has, in chapter 41, it says God has upheld him. He's established him and he's held his hand. Jesus had to be that weak person that began as nothing. He had to be led by the hand. He had to be helped. And then for a long time, he didn't say anything. When he heard that the Pharisees were trying to kill him, he didn't get involved in a conflict. He just shut his mouth and got out of there. So when these blind men are healed, they've gone from the blind stage to the next stage. Suddenly they get their sight, but they're not really mature yet. They've only just been saved. They don't really understand God's purpose. And so they go straight out and tell everybody what they've heard without understanding God's purpose in the whole thing. They don't really understand. They can see, they think they can see, but they really can't see. So the Pharisees, they are completely blind and they don't see at all. They know the story of David, but they don't understand the meaning. What we see here is a pattern. God wants us to be his witnesses. Jesus sent the 12, and then Jesus sends us, and we're all sent. We're all filled with the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The church, we can say, is baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we need to be as well. We need to go out, and we need to proclaim this message, but we are like the blind people whose eyes were suddenly opened, and we think that we can just go out and do it. And Jesus, in the beginning, he says, don't tell anyone. Why? just for the same reason. Let's think about the life of Paul. Paul, in the very first time, he was a Pharisee, just like these guys were Pharisees. And so when he first meets Jesus, he also becomes blind. Why? Because God gives that illustration to show what the Pharisees are. Paul was a blind Pharisee, so God made him blind. Then he receives his sight. And if you read in Acts chapter 9, it's interesting. He preaches in Damascus and they try to kill him. Then he goes to Jerusalem and he preaches there and the Hellenistic Jews try to kill him. And then the disciples say, listen, Paul, get out of here. And they send him away to Caesarea and then they send him all the way to Tarsus. Go home. Go back. Get out of sight, out of mind. And the disciples send him away. And that's the end of Paul, right? He ends up far away, and we don't see him again until much, much later. And then he comes back to Antioch, and now he's in the church, but he's not the star of the church. He's not the leader of the church. He's just a brother. And then comes the day when God calls him. And the very first thing that we see Paul doing in Acts chapter 13 is causing someone else to be blind. In his new power and ministry, he actually causes someone to be blind in Cyprus, and then he opens up the eyes of those who are blind. We see Paul ministering very powerfully. So this is the pattern that we go through. First of all, we're blind. Then God comes and gives us a little bit of understanding. But we're not yet able to go out and to minister in that power that God, Jesus, wants us to have. Before that can happen, there needs to be that time unseen. There needs to be that time where we're not heard. There needs to be that time, like he said in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, there's nothing hidden that won't be revealed. And the things that I whisper to you in your ear, you proclaim from the housetop. Notice that when Jesus gave them a message, he whispered it in their ear. That was a kind of a tradition among the Jews. The rabbis would whisper in the ear of an interpreter, and the other person would proclaim that message in a loud voice to the entire congregation. It sounds strange, although it's not really so different to what we do every Sunday, really. There's a teacher and there's also an interpreter. But for the Jews, that was a normal thing, and that was where they got that idea, whisper in the ear. The great teacher would whisper, and then the interpreter would then either translate it into another language, or they would simply interpret it for the people in a big loud voice and make it plain and simple for the people to hear. But the idea is this: until we have the time alone, until we have the time unseen, until we have that time unheard, until we have that time where Jesus whispers, that still small voice, right? Not the big powerful cyclones and typhoons and all the others, fire. But until we have that time just away from it all, we're not going to be a witness in the power that God wants us to have. So there's the pattern. When we look at the three passages and we understand the connection, then we can look at the different parts of it and put them together. So just to summarize a couple of the things. Why is it that Jesus told these people not to go and tell anyone? It's because they weren't called to do it. Those disciples weren't called. Why? Because they weren't the 12. The 12 had been with Christ. The 12 had been trained. The 12 had been taught. The 12 had been through the experiences. They had observed. They had seen. And they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus had anointed them and given them and called them and empowered them to go and do that ministry. They're the ones who he wants to go out and to preach the gospel. On the other hand, the ones who really don't understand what they're doing, they go out and they preach, but they cause a lot of confusion. And so it is in the church today. Of course, every believer is called to go out and preach the gospel, but Paul was called from the very time that he was blinded. But then we find a little later on in Acts 13, just have a look at Acts 13. Remember how Paul was called from the very beginning. God gave him that calling to go out and preach. But in Acts chapter 13, verses 5 to 12, Jesus appears to him. It wasn't Acts 13. It was Acts 22. Sorry, Acts chapter 22. I got it wrong. Acts chapter 22 and verse 17 to 21. Acts 22 from verse 17. When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and I saw the Lord speaking to me. Quick, he said, leave Jerusalem immediately because the people here will not accept your testimony about me. Lord, I replied, these people know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen, your martyr Stephen, was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. That was the other side of the disciples telling him to get out of here. So in Acts 13, in Acts 9 it says the disciples sent him away. But when they sent him away, Jesus also appeared to Paul and gave him the same commission. Get out of here. They're not going to listen to you. So, what do we make of this? Basically, we also are going to fit this pattern. You are going to fit this pattern. I'm going to fit this pattern. Every disciple is going to fit this pattern. We're saved. When we're saved, we have to understand we don't know anything. We don't know anything. We think we know, but we don't. We think we understand, and yet, at that time, if we go out and say it all and make our voice heard, unlike Jesus did in his early days, we're just going to cause a lot of trouble. When I started preaching, I was told to preach the gospel and just focus on one point, which was probably good advice. But once you preach a few times, then it's easy to forget that. And then I was asked, do you want to teach on Sunday morning? And I remember when I was in the Philippines, the very first time I went there, I'd only just started preaching, and I had two messages. I had two versions of the gospel to go and share. And I should have simply stuck with those, because they were simple messages that I understood. Simple things that I'd prayed about. Simple things that I knew God had given me. But when I got to the Philippines, I remember nightmare of nightmares. I was asked to preach at a prayer meeting. And I was like, what? A prayer meeting? And I didn't know what to say. And I spent a couple of days terrified about that, because I wasn't supposed to do that. I was only called to preach the gospel. I only knew how to preach the gospel. I only knew the simple thing that God had showed me in that point. And so I got up and probably mumbled a few things. And looking back on that experience, I realized what I should have done. I should have said no. I should have just either given the same message that I'd given before or simply just said no. I wasn't called to teach. I was called simply to give my testimony and proclaim the simple message that God had told me. Why? Because I didn't really understand all of God's purposes at that time. Just like these guys. Why would Jesus tell us not to tell anybody who he is? I can't understand that. Let's go and tell everybody. Yeah, but there was a reason. It was Isaiah 42. Jesus was demonstrating himself to be the Messiah. This is the one who didn't raise his voice. This is the one who was quiet. This is the one who for long he kept silent. For 30 years, no one knew who he was. God had a great purpose in doing it. And then suddenly when the time came, suddenly his ministry began, and he was very, very powerful. But until the cross, until he was ready to actually send people out, except for the 12 and the 70 whom he had been discipling, it wasn't the time for sending out everybody at that point. So now the church is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now the church is called to minister to all of the nations in the world. And the problem with us is that most of the time we're not very good at opening the eyes of the blind. And we're not very good at giving people the message. People who can't speak don't suddenly become great speakers of God's message. And why is that? We all begin blind. We all come to this point where we kind of understand some things, but then we want to jump straight to the public ministry. We want to jump to the power ministry without the very most important third stage. The third stage was the time to be quiet, the time to listen to the still small voice being whispered in the ear, the time to think, the time to allow God to take you through lots of difficult experiences and teach you through them. I was talking to someone this morning, and they told me this problem and that problem and this problem and that problem, and they're very serious problems. And at the end, I had to stop them and say, could you just stop for a second? Stop telling me about all these things. Because to me, what's really obvious is God is teaching you a lot of things at the moment. This is a time for you to be quiet and listen and learn. Now, this person, I don't really need to keep it a secret. You all know him anyway. This person is planning to get married. And I said to him, you know, it's a natural thing to go through all these troubles now before you get married, so that when you get married, you'll have learned the lessons. And so from his perspective, they were terrible calamities. From my perspective, they weren't so bad. But I understand that for him, it's kind of really hard to have trouble with relationships and things. But in reality, God is just, this is his time to be quiet. This is his time to learn. This is his time to stop and to think and to listen and to see what God does, to learn God's character, to learn more about the gospel, to learn more about God's grace, to learn more about love and all the things that God has for us. And so, just to sum it up, that's all I have to share with you tonight, but this is the point. When we're saved, we know nothing. And it's really important we understand that we don't understand. I wish when I was younger I understood how little I understood. It would have made life a lot easier. Because when you know you don't understand, then you're willing to listen. Yesterday we did Suikawari, which in my opinion is the most silly game in the world. And every time we do it, I think this is crazy. It's you take a watermelon and put a blindfold on someone and give them a baseball bat and say, go forward, go right, go left, and now smash, and you smash this watermelon until it breaks in pieces on the dirt. So I don't know where this game came from. I mean, yes, it's fun, but it seems a bit of a waste, especially when it gets mixed with the dirt. But the point is, when a person's doing that game, they've got a blindfold on, and they know that they can't see. And because they know they can't see, they listen. They listen very carefully. They really want to smash that watermelon. They don't want to miss. So if someone says a little bit right, a little bit left, a little bit forward, they'll do their best to do exactly what they're told, because they know they don't see. The trouble with us, we think we do see, so we don't listen. We think we do see, so we don't see the need to to listen carefully. And that was my experience as a young believer, and even until now. I've often thought, I know this. I don't need to listen. I don't need to understand anymore. I've got this. This is set. I know that. And so many times I didn't listen to God when he was trying to tell me something. Or I didn't listen to my pastor when he was trying to tell me something. I didn't listen to Fumi when she was trying to tell me something. Or I didn't listen to friends when they were trying to tell me something. Or I didn't listen to other Christians because I thought, no, I know it. The second thing is the time of just learning, just being quiet, just listening. It's very, very important. It might take a little time, it might take a long time. But until God gives us the calling and the open door, there's no need to rush. Maybe God's still got more to teach us. I want to be a powerful witness, and I want us all to be powerful witnesses. But it's very clear from these passages that the only ones who are powerful witnesses are those who go through the process. They are called. They're healed from the demonic power. They're delivered from the demonic hold on their life. Their eyes are miraculously opened. They are given a voice. Before they couldn't speak, but now they are. They're given the message. Jesus said, "Don't worry about what you shall speak," in Matthew chapter 10, the same passage, because at that time it's the Holy Spirit who's with you who will give you the message. They're walking with God. They're listening to God, and therefore God's giving him the words to speak. They also have that time away where they can stop, where they can listen. They're not trying to rush God. They're not trying to force their way. They're just happy to wait until the time. But when the time comes, they're very powerful. And that's us. That's all of us. That's God's plan for you. That's God's plan for me. Jesus spent 33 years in this world. 3 years, he had a powerful ministry. 30 years, he was quiet. And so maybe it'll be similar to us. Maybe there'll be a certain time in our life where God will do a great amount of things through us. We need to understand God's purposes. Okay, and that's it. はい。そして、はい。今から、最後まで日本語を説明します。そして、マタイ9章、12章、まあ、間に10章、そして、イザヤ42章があります。そして、その共通点を学びました。まあ、目が見えない人、物を語れない人は癒された。12章では目が見えない人で物を語れない人が癒された。その人は悪霊に疲れた。また9章、物を語れない人。そして12章にもその人は悪霊に疲れた。そしてどちらの方にも、反対された。そしてそれは悪魔の力によってやっているんじゃないかと訴えられた。マタイ9章、マタイ12章。そしてどちらの場合もマタイ9章、マタイ12章、イエス様はもう絶対に誰にも言わないでください。まあ言わないように警戒しました。なんででしょう。なぜかというと、ね、みんな不思議なと思っていることはマタイ12章で説明されている。これはイザヤ42章を成就するためのことです。イザヤ42章はこれは私のしもべです。見よ、私の支える私のしもべ、私の心の喜ぶ私が選んだもの、私は彼の上に私の霊を授け、彼は国々に公義をもたらす、彼は叫ばず声を上げず巷にその声を聞かせない、彼は傷んだ足を折ることもなく、彼はブルトーシンを消すこともなく、 誠をもって公義をもたらす。彼は衰えずくじけない。ついには他の公義を打ち立てる。島々もその教えを待ち望む。まあ面白いこと、この二つを比べると、ルカ十二章の方は、二列が少ない。なぜなら、それは、新約聖書、イエス様の、奉仕に、当てはめている、から。で、まあ、国々は異邦人になる。そして、結局、その立法は、神様の教え、福音を、言いますけど、最後には、異邦人は彼の名に望みをかける。旧約聖書の場合は、島々はその教えを待ち望むと書いてます。まあ、それは面白いですけど、しかし、なんででしょう。じゃあ、なんで、イエス様は、その、目が見えなかった、そして癒された人に、誰にも言わないように警戒したでしょう。私たちはみんなに伝えたらいいんじゃないか。でも、イエス様は絶対に誰にも言わない。その理由は、その人は神様の奉仕、神様の目的を理解しなかったから。彼は癒された。だけど、癒されたところ。彼が、まあ、恵みを受けたところのニュークリスチャンみたいなもので、何もわからない。実は、このイザヤ十二章には、例えば14節では、私は久しく黙っていた。30年、イエス様は何も言わなかった。しかし、突然、イエス様の前の扉が開かれたときに、彼は力強い奉仕をしました。じゃあ、とにかくその3つを比べて何がわかるかというと、イエス様はその通り、そのしもべです。そのしもべがどこ行っても力強い奉仕をしました。人を癒した。目が見えない人の目を開けた。口を開けた。耳を開けた。イエス様は悪霊の力から人を、釈放しました。イエス様は、目が見えない国々を、神様のところに連れて行きました。イエス様は公義を広めました。まあ、新約聖書では福音を伝えたという、ことを人が許されるように、その働きをして、福音を広めた。その力強いイエス様は、イザヤ12章でずっと黙っていたもの。ずっと反対されても諦めなかったもの。ずっと、ろうそくみたいに、ピカピカすると、なかなか消えないもの。イエス様は、反対されたもの。イエス様は、隠れていたもの。そして私たちは、みんな、このような、奉仕は、与えられています。なぜかというと、九章の次にイエス様は、収穫のために働き人を祈りましょうと言いました。二人、その目が見え、癒された人たち、彼らは、送ってない。彼らに誰に言わないでと言ってます。しかし、君らはもう出て行って、村から村へ全ての人に、いなさい。私が、密かに、耳に言ったことを、屋上から、みんなに、言い広めなさい、と言いました。その人たちは、何もできなかった。けど、あなたたちは、力強い技をします。癒しをします。奇跡をします。ということで、私たちも、 まあ、弟子の弟子で、同じ奉仕が与えられていますけど、でもこのプロセスは私たちにもあるから、ちゃんとしたプロセスを通れなかったら力強い奉仕者になることができません。イエス様もそうです。赤ちゃんとして生まれた赤ちゃんは目が見えないものですね。数ヶ月でやっと、まあ、指をなんていう、ついていくことができるでしょう。そしてまあ、人見知りというのは顔を認識できるということ。今週うちの甥っ子が家に来ていたけど、その子はなんか抱っこした時にいつも誰が私の抱っこしているかずっと見ていた。もうやっと今9、8ヶ月ぐらい、まあ、やっと見えるようになってきた。でも前は見えなかった、ちゃんと。でもクリスチャンは最初はそうです。私たちは何も見えない。でパウロもそうです。最初パウロはパリサイ人だから、彼が救われた時に一番最初の段階はイエス様は彼を盲目にした。見えないようにした。なぜかというと、パリサイ人たちは目が見えないものでした。彼らはいくら聖書を読んでも意味がわからなかった。いくら勉強しても悟れなかった。イエス様はパウロを最初の段階に置きました。目が見えない。そしてパウロはいろんな人に話したかった。ダマスコで人に伝えようとしてた。イエス様は、彼らは、パリサイ人は、例えばユダヤ人はイエス様を殺そうとしてた。そして次にエルサレムに行って、今度は、ヘレナ人、ギリシャ人のユダヤ人に殺されようとしていた。そして、次は面白いことは、弟子たちはパウロを無理やり捕まえて、もうケサリアからタルソまで追い出した。もう行きなさい、もうダメです、もうイスラエルから出なさいと。弟子たち、クリスチャンはパウロを追い出した。なぜでしょう。まあパウロも使徒働き、22章17から21節を読んでみると、イエス様もまあここでは彼らはあなたの私に対する証を受け入れませんので行きなさいとイエス様は言いました。でパウロはいやいや、でも私はカイロからカイロへ迫害するために行っていた、みんな知ってるでしょうとイエス様に乗ったけど、イエス様はいやいや行きなさい、私は別の計画があるから、あなたはもう異邦人まで送るからタルソまで行きなさい。そしてタルソに行って何もしなかった。長い間に何もしなかった。私たちもで結局その後でパウロはやっとアンティオクに来た時に、もうただの兄弟パウルという、兄弟サウルということで頭でもなかった。しかし発見された時に聖霊の力が与えられて、そして一番最初に起こした奇跡は人を盲目にした。そして目が見えない異邦人の目を開けた。それはパウルの最初で、それからもうどこ行っても力強い奉仕を行いました。自分の人生にあったことは彼は他の人に与えることができたから。だから彼の耳に語れた、密かに語れたことは今度は全ての人の力強い奉仕で行うことができました。私たちも同じパターンに従わなければなりません。最初は目が見えない、みんなそれを理解しなければならない。最初は何もわからないことを理解することが必要。僕は救われた時にいろんな変なことを言いました。伝道しようとした時にもう大変間違ったことをたくさん言いました。例えば、まあ、誰かの予言のビデオを見てそのままみんなに言って、後ではそれ間違ったか、そして人が何それと言われて、クリスト教を信じられない とか、そのような反応がありました。だから僕は同じようにもう出ていて誰にも言わないように言ったらよ、言われたと思います。イエス様は本当はそうやっていると思います。フィリピンに最初に行った時に、まあ、福音を伝えることはできましたので福音を伝えました。でも説教は2つしかなかった。一番最初の説教は2つ、ただの、福音の説明する2つのメッセージで、それをもう理解できました。それはもう神様に与えられたと思って、まあ分かったからそれを説明することができましたけど、でも教えることはできなかった。で、最初に、じゃあ今回は祈り会で話してくださいって言われたら、頼まれたら、もう2日間ぐらいにすっごく緊張していた。何を言ったらいいか分からない。結局着いたら、なんか山の少数民族の人たち半分ぐらいが来て、普通は服を着てない人たちが服を着て教会に来た。あとはまあニュークリスチャンとか、別に緊張することはないですけど、でも本当はもう祈りに関しては何も分からなかったから、教えることはまだまだできないことでした。で、教会ももうまだ19歳の時に福音を伝えることができたけど、でも数回教会で話したら、次にじゃあ日曜日の朝に教えてください、まだまだ熟してなかったのに、そのことを頼まれて、本当はできなかったから、多分大変間違ったことを言ったかもしれない。ちゃんとこのパターンに従わなければ、私たちはあり得る害をもたらします。最初は何もわからない、次にはもう出て行って喜んでもいいけど、もう間違ったことをもう言わないように、もう黙りましょうということ。パウロもそうでした、イエス様もそうでした。私たちさらにそれが必要、神様からいろいろなことを学びます。神様から人生によっていろいろなことを学びます。最近は友達と話してた、その人は結婚する前ですけど、今はまああり得る問題があります。そしてその問題、まあ話しているときに、すごいね、まあいいですね、今結婚する前にいろいろがあって、それをレッスン学んでから結婚したら恵まれると思います。本人にはまあ大変大変と言ってたけど、でも逆にそうではない、今こそそういうレッスンを学ぶべき時です。結婚したらそれによって祝福されるでしょうと、まあ本人が、うん、なるほどと言いましたけど、でもその通り、長い間に、まあ長いのは場合によりますけど、でもその隠されている時、自分の声が聞かれない時、対立的なことに参加しないこと時、その時は大事。なぜなら聖霊は私たちにあり得ることを教えます。イエス様は、私は耳に語る時は屋上から言い広めなさい、それは伝統的なユダヤ人の習慣で、ラビは ある先生は教える、そして隣の人の耳に語ります。そしてその人は大声で、まあ、もしくは別の言葉で、別の言語で大勢の人に話します。ヘブライ語から、まあ、グリシ語かアラム語か何語に伝えます。そして、まあ、多分イエス様はそういう、まあ、文化、そういう背景をに参考して話したと思いますけど、でも私たちは密かなところで神様に教えられることはみんなに広めますけど、密かで学んだことないものは広めることができませんので、その長い時、まあ30年、イエス様は、私たちは何年も必要かもしれないけど、もう大丈夫です。多くの人に語らなくてもいい。ただ、自分が与えられた特定の特別なメッセージは、そして召されている奉仕はやりましょう。まあ、自分の救いの証はできます。もしくは、福音のある 2日の側面は理解している。それを言い広めましょう。だけど、まだ分からないことはあまり言わない方がいい。分からないと言ってもいい。うん。そして、自分の奉仕が明らかにされたときに、力強く出ていて、奉仕をしましょう。イエス様の計画は、私たちはみんな、そっちに至ります。至ること。力強い、奇跡的な癒しの奉仕をもたらすことは神様の御心。じゃあ、最初は自分がわからないことは認めましょう。スイカ割りの時に、目が覆われているからこそ、よく周りの人たちの言うことを聞くでしょう。ちょっと右、ちょっと前、ちょっと左、ちょっと回って。もう本当に真ん中に打ちたいから、必死に全ての指示を、そのまま素直に受け取ります。しかし、自分が見えると思っているものは周りの人たちを聞かないでしょう。じゃあ、私たちは何もわからないと思いましょう。そしたら、周りの人たちの言うことをちゃんと聞く。そして、心に留める。そして、まあ、ヘゼキヤ王みたいに、それをイエス様のところに持っていく。まあ、イエス様はそれは正しいか、確信するか、もしくは、それは違うか。しかし、私たちはとにかく受け止めます。そして、イエス様のところを祈りながら、よく考えます。そして、その時から、力強く、精霊の力によってメッセージが与えられて、そしてそれを広めることができます。はい。まあ、自分もそうです。自分は今、どこでしょう。まだ目が見えないことか、ちょっと具合わかるか、それから、もうあまり隠されている時にあるか。でも、まあ、いつか力強く奉仕するように神様は皆さん用いたいと思っています。その時はいつわからないけど、何年か続けるかわからないけど、でも絶対にその時が来る神様の計画では。だから、いくら反対されても諦めない。何言われても諦めない。ずっと何もないことがあっても諦めない。神様の飯を待ち望みましょう。まあ、自分が福音を伝えることと神様の奉仕をよく待ち望んで、明らかにされた時にそれをやりましょう。はい。では今日は祈ります。それで終わります。祈りましょう。